Turn to Luke 8. That's where we're going to be in Luke 8 and John 20. So if you want to kind of put those two, we'll be looking at some others that'll be on the screen. But if you have a Bible, need a Bible, there's always one in the back. Feel free to grab one or download one. Might take a little while to download here, but download one on your phone. Some of you have done that. So we'll be there in Luke chapter 8 here in just a moment. But well, let me pray. Father, we do pray. You know, it's great to just stop and just to come before you anytime. And we don't even necessarily have to close our eyes, but sometimes it helps just to focus us a little more. But Lord, right now, I just want to pray that you would speak through me, Lord. I studied your word and Lord, looked at this woman, Mary Magdalene, and Lord, just pray that your spirit would speak to people's hearts. Help me to be a good communicator and to be able to share your truth and to be able to learn some things, but more importantly, not just to learn in our head, but to apply to our heart and to our lives. Learn from this amazing woman, Lord, that you changed. So speak through me, Lord. Use your word in Christ's name. Amen. Mary Magdalene. Some of you probably have heard that name if you've been in a church for a while. If not, maybe you haven't. She's actually one of the more well-known but least understood characters, especially in the New Testament. She's actually one of the more prominent women in the New Testament, especially toward the end, and you'll see that why in just a few moments. Her name was Mary Magdalene. What a last name, Magdalene, right? Well, that wasn't actually her last name. It was actually after Magdala, which is the city, the town that she lived in. So why do we call her Mary Magdalene? Well, basically, if you read the Bible, the New Testament, you'll see there's a lot of different Marys, isn't there? So it's to differentiate her from Mary, the mother of Jesus, from Mary, as in Mary and Martha, and from other Marys that you see. We'll actually read a few others this morning. Mary was a very common name. And so we see here Mary Magdalene. She was from this town of Magdala. It was about 2 to 3 miles north of a Roman city called Tiberias. Interesting, if you look and you read the New Testament, Jesus went to this area a number of different times. This definitely was not a very godly area. And we see that a number of times he goes in there, there's kind of a similar theme. And what he often does is he is impacted and approached by a number of different people who are possessed by Satan, possessed by devils or by demons, as we call them. One of them being, as we'll see, Mary Magdalene. You know, when we hear of this idea of someone who is possessed or filled with a demon, we often think of that, well, that's just something in the Bible, right? What does that mean? That's something in the Bible. Or maybe it's something that happens in Africa or in India, but certainly not here in the United States, right? Well, not necessarily. The truth is that evil is at work everywhere, even here in the United States. Pastor Jim Cimbala, some of you may have heard of him. He's a pastor in Brooklyn, at Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. And he shares about an experience he had with a young woman named Diana. One Tuesday night during their prayer service, members of the church brought in a young person who was basically addicted to drugs. It was a friend of theirs, and they brought her to this prayer service. And they just said, she's on drugs and she needs help. That's all they told him. And so Pastor Cimbala said, well, I didn't think too much of it. We often have people who come in who are on drugs and so on. But about a half an hour into the meeting, I said, There's a young lady here that wants to be prayed for. Would you guys bring her down? Let's pray for her at this time. She's on drugs and wants us to pray for her. So they began to walk this young Hispanic girl up front. She kind of came up and she looked kind of dazed. He said it kind of, you know, seemed like the effects of drugs, I assumed. Her name was Diana. Jim Cimbala says, I was standing on ground level. It wasn't up, you know, on the stadium or up and on the pulpit or, you know, that area. But he was just down level with everybody else. And as this young girl came up and the two people came up, they came up and all of a sudden he felt within his spirit there was something different going on here. He says, it began to tense up. Alarm bells began to go off in my spirit. I kind of sensed something was wrong. And I noticed off to my right one of my friends, a visiting evangelist I knew, and so I asked her if she would come and join me as we prayed. As she moved out of her seat, later she shared, she too sensed the Holy Spirit saying something was up. They both suddenly felt this kind of red alert within their spirit. Something was going to happen. Something was going on. And so they laid their hands on Diana. And Jim Cimbala says, I very quietly prayed. I said, oh, Jesus, help this girl. Like a shot, the moment I mentioned the name of Jesus, an explosion of rage and screaming began to happen. This 5'1" girl lunged for my throat, he said. Matter of fact, knocked me back, lunged me onto the ground and ripped my collar off, body slammed me. A hideous voice from deep inside her began to scream, you'll never have her, she's ours, get away from her, and the language turned obscene. People began to pray, others began to gasp. Meanwhile, the leaders jumped up and tried to pull her off of me. Despite this very diminutive young girl, they couldn't get her off of him. Finally, with all of their strength, they pulled her off of me, he says. After getting up, I leaned over the girl to address the spirits, and I said, shut up! In the name of Jesus, release her. Come out of her. Diana's eyes began to roll back in her head, and she spit directly into my face twice. The church was there praying, asking earnestly, calling to God to deliver her. Within a few minutes, the girl settled down and was totally set free. As a matter of fact, just a few minutes later, he says, we were singing a song, and she began to raise her hands and started singing with the rest of us the song, Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes whiter than snow. Tears were streaming down her face. Christ had delivered her. He goes on and he shares this. It was in one of his books. And this was written 10 years after the fact. He said Diane at that time was now still serving the Lord 10 years later at Brooklyn Tabernacle. She had married a young man, a young godly Christian man, and both of them were both devoted followers of Jesus. We see the power of evil, but we also see the more power of Jesus Christ and how he delivers us. You know, when we learn of Mary Magdalene this morning, we're going to see a very similar story, I believe. We first hear from her and hear about her in Luke 8. Look at verses 1 to 2. It says this, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 disciples were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Today we're going to see how Mary Magdalene was delivered from darkness. And I hope this morning you can also see that every single one of us at some point in our life needs to have the same kind of experience, that we need to be delivered from darkness. Now, it may not be in the same way that she was, but the reality is there. But before we dive into who Mary Magdalene is, there's some things you need to know of who she isn't. Some things that are out there that are false teachings, some different false ideas about her. Some of you probably have seen and maybe heard of one or two of these, but some of them are actually from the Bible. Some believe that she is the woman caught in adultery. Remember the story in John 8 where this woman was caught in adultery and they brought her out and they were going to stone her, and Jesus said, the first one without sin, stone her, and he forgave her. Some people believe that that is Mary Magdalene. Matter of fact, if you've seen the movie The Passion by Mel Gibson, he portrays that as Mary Magdalene. But there's really no biblical evidence. Her name is not there. There's not really any other historical evidence that that's her. She's also not the anonymous sinner who anointed Jesus. At least we don't have any direct biblical or extra-biblical truth of that. There is tradition, actually Catholic tradition, that's where it comes from, that she was the one who anointed Jesus' feet, okay? But it seems from biblical evidence, actually highly unlikely. Why do I say that? Because literally just verses later, from chapter 7 to chapter 8, Mary Magdalene is mentioned in chapter 8, verses 3, we just read it, by name. Luke, if you know who writes the Gospel of Luke is a doctor, he's very detailed. You think surely he would have mentioned her name if that was her, the one anointing his feet, since he mentions her literally 3 verses later. So it seems quite improbable that that's her as well. But then there's some other things that are kind of more recent. Actually, they come from way back when. Some mythology, we might call it. Some Gnostic legends and heresies that have been around that basically took Mary Magdalene and kind of made her into a goddess or an icon. Okay, matter of fact, if you go and Google some stuff, you'll see that even today, she's actually a symbol of some of the radical feminist movements. They see Mary Magdalene as that. Why? Well, we'll see in just a moment. More recently, in the last number of years, some of you have probably seen the movie. I've seen it a number of times. I enjoy watching it, but it's certainly not true. The movie, The Da Vinci Code. I'm just curious, how many of you have seen The Da Vinci Code? Okay, about half of you. I'm surprised more haven't. But actually, it was just on TV the other day. I was flipping through the channel. It's like, I kind of noticed it since I was preaching on this. This fictional movie, basically, it brought about these long discredited stories and legends from literally thousands of years ago, right after Christ, that were in this movie, they're woven together into a story that suggests, that say, that Jesus and Mary Magdalene married. Jesus was married. Now, that he had children through Mary Magdalene. And her line continues on today. Now, all of this, you need to know, is unhistorical. It's been long discredited. Okay, that's not, you know, among anybody who does any research, it's obvious that it's not true. And yet these writings and now these movies continue to perpetuate, because what do people like to do? They love to fascinate people. They love to have conspiracy theories. They love to do all these kinds of things. Kind of continue these different myths that have been out there. What they are, I believe, are simply tools of Satan, which he uses all kinds of different tools, whether it's through movies or TVs, to basically distract people, first of all, from knowing who Mary Magdalene really is, and more importantly, from the deity, okay, and from the truth of who Jesus Christ is. If Satan can anyway discredit Jesus as the Son of God, then he will. You know, we have enough scripture here to understand God's truth. Our foundation is the truth, right? The truth of God's word. It's interesting. We've done series before on the truth and reliability of God's word. Do you know the Bible is one of the most scrutinized books of all time? One of the most critiqued books? Why? Because of what it proclaims. And yet over and over we've seen it's proven historically accurate. It stood the test of time. It's something that you can be not only proud of, saying you read and believe, but you can know that this is God's word. And if you have doubts about that, come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about it. There's a lot of historical evidence to show the scripture to be true. And so we see here what scripture shares about Mary Magdalene, what we're going to talk about this morning, certainly gives us enough to see the extraordinary person of Mary Magdalene, that we don't have to have these extra biblical or these heretical teachings about her. So let's look at who Mary Magdalene was, who she is. Remember what we read earlier in Luke chapter 8, verse 2? It says this, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come. Mark 16:9 basically is the exact same thing. It says almost the exact same thing. We see here that Mary faced darkness. She faced darkness. It says she was possessed by seven demons. Now, I think it'd be bad enough to be possessed by one, right? And yet it says by seven. You know, as we saw earlier with Diana, demon possession is something that's real, okay? It's something that's not just, you know, for the movies, but it's something that is a reality. And there's lots of different symptoms, different things that come as a result of someone being demon possessed. Some of them are kind of crazy, kind of like the story we heard with Diana and what we see with Mary of having seven, but others maybe not so out there. And yet we see the results of them are just as devastating. It can result in mental and physical behavior, whether that be fits or seizures that sometimes come out, inability to speak, self-affliction, psychotic issues. It's basically an affliction of evil, any way that Satan can try to control and destroy someone. Many become outcasts. We see that in the New Testament. We see that in our society today. We see that in different areas, whether it be sometimes schizophrenia or manic behavior or drug abuse and addiction or deep depression or even suicide. Now, you need to hear me. I'm not saying that everybody has one of those things that's depressed or that tries to commit suicide or even has schizophrenia is demon possessed. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's not say there's never a possibility. Matter of fact, we know that evil is involved in that because those are not things that God desires anyone to have to go through, right? Would we agree with that? So we see here that even though those issues can be a part of it, they're not always a part of demon possession or demon oppression. Some of you might ask, well, how does somebody allow that to happen in their lives? How does a demon, how does an evil spirit come and all of a sudden have control of someone? Well, you think one way is through someone who has absolutely no regard for God's laws. I mean, absolutely none. And they just basically are out to do anything immoral, illegal, and sometimes that allows that. Usually, often, it's being involved with the occult or superstitions or certainly drug use that opens a person's heart, opens their life to demon possession or demon oppression. But it's interesting. Scripture always says that those people are victims. Yes, they may open themselves to that, but they are victims of evil. And their lives are in the midst of ruin. And such was the case. The reason I bring this up, I want you to think about what Mary Magdalene was facing in her life, okay? We don't have a lot of detail. It simply says she was possessed by seven demons, and yet we know she must have went through quite a bit. She would have faced at the least, depression, anxiety, fears, shame, and other issues. A life that was trapped, right? A life full of darkness. Most people we know, thankfully, will not have to face this. But the truth is that every single one of us, even those who were born in a great Christian family, are faced with darkness, right? We're all faced with darkness in our lives. Those without the Lord especially face darkness. Jesus himself said this in one of the most famous scriptures. We know John 3:16, but you know what he says after that? In John 3:19? Jesus said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. He's talking about himself. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Because they love the darkness. So many people are still facing darkness today. You have loved ones, friends, who are in darkness because they refuse to submit to God, to see their need for Jesus. Our darkness may not be demon possession like Mary, but we still have this darkness, for instance, first and foremost, of selfishness, right? Think about your life. I think about mine. We all have selfishness in our lives since we were born, right? We have behaviors that are destructive to our relationships. How many relationships do people destroy because of how we treat them, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in with your children or to your parents or just somebody that you, a friend that you have. Or maybe it's the darkness of materialistic desires, basically always wanting more and more. Always, it's all about me and what I want. How destructive is that? Those are all issues of darkness, the darkness of our heart. See, without Jesus, we are still in darkness without the light of Christ. But here's the good news. That all changed for Mary. For Mary Magdalene, that changed. She experienced deliverance, didn't she? Christ delivered her from that darkness. And she experienced the light of Christ. How and when she did it. It doesn't tell us. In one little short verse, all it says, she was possessed by seven demons and then she's not. So all of a sudden, she's following Jesus. It doesn't give us the details. And yet we know that Jesus set her free, and she was free indeed. We're going to see that by the evidence of her life as we continue this morning. She was transformed, and she, in her mind, she owed Jesus everything. Just like those of you who have been delivered realize that you owe Jesus everything. We heard earlier from Diana and how her life was delivered in this amazing way. And she became a devoted follower of Christ. You see, you don't have to be demon-possessed, thank God, right? You don't have to do that to be delivered from darkness. As we said earlier, all of us are in the darkness without the light of Christ. We all need deliverance from our own sin, from our own selfishness, from the shame that we have, maybe of the things that we've done, from depression, from fears that only Jesus can save us from. And so this morning, I don't want you to think, well, that's like Mary or Diana. That doesn't relate to me at all. No. That's just kind of the extreme. It relates to each one of us. Each one of us needs Jesus to deliver that us from that darkness, from our own sin. And even as Christians, we need that. We need to allow God. Sometimes we still allow that darkness to come into our lives. And so if that's you, you know, this morning, even now in your own hearts, that's the time, you know what, Jesus is right there. He is willing and waiting for you to ask him to deliver you from that portion of darkness in your life that seems to control you. All you need to do is just to pray or to ask somebody else to pray with you or for you. Pray that Jesus would take away that darkness and ask for that accountability. Maybe you need some help. You know, you need some friends to bring you somewhere for prayer in that sense. Maybe it's not in a big group, but somebody that's going to encourage you and help you to take away that darkness and sin, to receive that forgiveness and that new life, to become more and more that person that Jesus calls each one of us to be. So if that's you, I encourage you to allow God to do that in your heart, even this morning. Mary Magdalene was the object of grace, the grace and the power and the new life of Christ. No wonder she became a disciple of Jesus. See, when Jesus delivers us from darkness, he makes us a new person, right? A new creation is what Paul says. And so she became a disciple of Jesus. Look at verses 1 to 3. We read verses 1 and 2, but let's read 1 through 3 now, Luke 8. It says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. And these women, here it is, these women were helping to support them out of their own means. Mary Magdalene joined this close circle of disciples following Jesus. Now, Jesus had the 12, right? We know about the 12 disciples that he called in a special way, but they weren't just the 12. As you read, you notice there was a group of other people, men and women, who were following Jesus, who were disciples, who were learning from him. Remember the 70 he sent out at one time to go and to share the good news. Mary Magdalene may have been one of those 70. It's interesting. We see specifically this group of women that were with Jesus. These women obviously didn't have, for whatever reasons, responsibilities back at home. It looks like they didn't have children. They weren't married. They had gone through some extreme stuff, right? They probably didn't have families after they had been demon-possessed for the time, or that some of them had diseases, that a family had outcasted them. So they had the freedom now to follow Jesus. And yet we see it says that they supported him. They gave. They had received from God, and now they freely gave to him. What did they give? Well, first of all, they gave of their time. They spent time following him, learning from Jesus. They also, what did they do? They gave. They gave of their resources to support Jesus and his ministry. And we see specifically Mary Magdalene was one of those. Matter of fact, she's the first one mentioned in this group. A life changed, and now a life that was serving, wanting to serve Jesus. You know, it's my privilege as a pastor to be able to see changed lives. It's one of the joys of being a pastor, is seeing people whose lives are changed. You know, the last year or two, we've seen a number of people who've come to Christ. And it's awesome to see them, even this past year, and as they're serving. Now they're serving. First they come and they give their life to Jesus. And that's kind of, it's not necessarily right away. Some it's like sudden, others it's like a process. But now, what a joy to see in this last year, them, a number of them helping out with Kingdom Kids in VBS, part of the setup team, and so on. To see that Jesus takes and gets a hold and removes that darkness, delivers them from sin and darkness, and allows them to be a light for him, to be a disciple of his. What an inspiration. You know, we can see a challenge. We can see the inspiration from Mary Magdalene, right? As one of these disciples, she challenges us to use our time, to use our resources, to use our new heart to serve him and to serve others. Let me ask you, is that your heart? Is that your life? That Jesus had delivered you and now your life is being changed? That you're using your resources and your time and your talents to serve God and to serve others? I hope it is. Because if you've been delivered from darkness, Jesus calls you to be a light. Because you have the light. But Mary Magdalene, you know, she wasn't even just like most of the other disciples. You see, she was faithful and loyal to Christ. Now, you would say, well, aren't all disciples faithful and loyal? Well, ultimately, yes. But you know what? She was loyal to Christ, what I would say, to the end. You see, Matthew, Mark, and John all record that Mary Magdalene was at Jesus' crucifixion. Listen to John 19:25. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Notice who's missing. Basically, all of the apostles, all the disciples except for one, John. All the rest had fled. All the rest were not to be seen. But Mary Magdalene and a number of the other Marys and women stayed despite the danger. Despite the agony of seeing someone that they loved being killed. They had remained loyal no matter the cost. You know, loyalty is an amazing quality to have, right? You might have somebody that's loyal in your life. You have someone that you know is going to be with you no matter what. That's someone special, isn't it? Loyalty is an important quality to have. You know, most of you probably, you've know and probably heard the name Jackie Robinson. He was the first African-American baseball player, kind of broke into the major leagues. I mean, there were others before him, but basically he was the first one in the major leagues, right? And while breaking the baseball color barrier, he faced a lot of persecution, a lot of jeering from every crowd in every stadium, even in his own stadium. One day while he was playing in his own stadium, he committed an error. Oh, God forsake that you commit an error, right, as a player. But all of a sudden, the fans started booing him and jeering him. And he stood at second base and he kind of hung his head, feeling like the whole world was against him. Well, shortstop Pee Wee Reese, his teammate and his friend, came over and stood right next to him. Matter of fact, he put his arm around his shoulder and just stood there looking at the crowd. And slowly the crowd became quiet. Robinson later said that arm around his shoulder saved his baseball career. He was going to give up. Pee Wee Reese stood by his friend and his teammate. That's loyalty. And Mary Magdalene and a few others were with Jesus to the very end. And you know what? All honor. You know what? They deserve great honor, I believe. They deserve honor for their courage, for their loyalty of staying with Jesus, while many others wouldn't. I mean, surely Jesus received strength and comfort from them those last moments of his life. I mean, see, no one should die alone, right? We would all agree with that. No one should have to die alone, especially, you think, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and he didn't die alone. Mary Magdalene, his mother, and others, John, were the few that were there. After Jesus died, we read in Mark chapter 15, 45 to 47, it says this, when Pilate learned from the centurion that it was so, in other words, that Jesus had died, he gave the body to Joseph of Arimathea. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, and he took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. But here's verse 47. It says, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. They followed, and they saw where Jesus was laid. Mary Magdalene, her love and loyalty for Jesus went beyond just even there at the cross. I mean, her love for Christ was as strong as anyone's. She took note of where and how he was being laid. And she was determined to give him a proper burial. But it was almost Sabbath. It was in the evening, and Sabbath was coming upon. And so she had to go home. Her and some of the other women went home, but they were going to be there first light Sunday morning after Sabbath. Think about that loyalty. Just that simple act. It's a simple act, isn't it? Of going and just wanting to have a proper burial for Jesus. for all that he had done for her. That was the least that she figured she could do for him. You know, the truth is, for me, I think of my life, if I'm honest, and I try to be honest with myself at times, you know, I think I'm much more like those other 12 disciples, where I'm kind of ashamed and I hide from the name of Jesus, don't want to be associated with the Jesus on the cross. But you know what? I want to be more like Mary Magdalene. She didn't care what others thought. And in fact, she didn't even care about the possible consequences, because there were possible consequences being associated with Jesus there on the cross. May you and I have the same love and loyalty of Christ, even when it may be hard. Even when you might be looked down upon. You ever felt looked down upon because you're a Christian, because you mention Jesus in some conversation? Or maybe even are you willing to be loyal even if someday there's persecution? Who knows? There's certainly persecution in other places for being a Christian. Someday it could come here to the United States. We don't know. Where is your loyalty to Christ? Mary was the last to leave the cross and the first up on Sunday morning. Turn with me to John chapter 20 as we finish out learning about Mary. There's quite a lengthy scripture here. I want to read it all, though. John chapter 20, we're going to read 1 through 18. A lot of it, if you come to church on Easter, you probably have heard this before. But let's read it again in new light, looking at Mary. It says, early in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple, talking about John, started from the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went in the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead, though. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me, please tell me where you put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." And so Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Wow. Mary Magdalene was the first person to see the resurrected Christ. Mary, along with a number of other women, we see it in the Gospel of Luke. Mary actually didn't come by herself, but she came with a number of the other women. They came to the tomb at daybreak, what'd I say, to give this a proper burial, to bring these spices and to wrap Jesus' body in an appropriate Jewish burial. There was no thought of resurrection in their minds, okay? They were just coming to do what needed to be done. But they see the tomb is empty. And what does she do? She runs and she goes to the disciples. And John and Peter come, and they come running, and they see the tomb is empty. And what do? They kind of figure things out, and they're not sure what's going on. They go back to the others. And who's left there? Mary Magdalene, by herself, crying, wondering where Jesus' body is. Who could have done this? Why would they do this? But it's at this time that she is the witness of something amazing. First, she sees these two angels. She looks in the tomb again. She sees these two angels. And they ask her, what are you looking for? And then all of a sudden it says, we're not sure why. Maybe the angels kind of looked, you know, look behind you. She turns around and she sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize it's Jesus. Kind of probably through her tear-stained eyes, she doesn't recognize him. But then she hears these words, Mary. She hears her name, Mary. And she's heard that many times from Jesus before. And she recognizes, she realizes it's Jesus. And then she must have just grasped a hold of him and said, I'm never letting go of you. Right? Wouldn't you do the same? You ever been somebody that you maybe never thought you were going to see for a long time or maybe ever before, Cammie? Maybe you kind of had an experience when you met your mother? I don't know. But you know, those kind of things where you just want to hang on to somebody? Somebody's been gone for so long? I think that's what happened there. Think about this. Mary Magdalene was the first one to see and to hear Jesus after his resurrection. You ever thought about this? I mean, if I was writing the story, or if I was Jesus, I mean, I'd go to my 12 disciples, right? I mean, they were so faithful to the end anyway. Not. But it's interesting. He comes to Mary Magdalene. He doesn't come to a group of people. You think, well, let's get as many people to know and find this out as possible. Comes to one. A woman in their culture. We've talked about that a lot. Not only just a woman, one who had a pretty bad background, one who had been possessed by demons. What she must have felt to have Jesus call her name, to be the first one to see Jesus was alive. I want you to stop and think for a moment about a time in your life where Jesus showed himself to you. Many of you here hopefully have experienced that. Maybe stop and think about when, maybe you can think of that moment when you first came to Christ. When you really understood that Jesus loved you and died on the cross for you, and you really repented and turned away from your sin and asked Jesus to come and to be in your life. Can you remember that moment? For some of you, it's really a special moment. For others of you, maybe stop and think about a time where God showed himself to you, where Jesus showed himself in a real way. Maybe it was an answer to prayer. Can you think of something where it was a really important prayer in your life? And Jesus was there in a special way, and you knew he was with you. Can you think of that moment? Or maybe it was a direction in your life. Maybe he was calling you to get involved in some kind of ministry. Maybe it was when you were younger. Maybe it was just recently where you just sensed you were praying and God said, you know what, I want you to do this. And you knew this was Jesus speaking to you. Or one other thought, maybe it was in a relationship that was really important to you and you asked God to mend that and God did a special thing in that particular relationship, and you just knew that Jesus was right there with you. Maybe it's something totally different. But think about that moment. You know, Jesus comes to each one of us in different ways. He wants to show himself real to us in different ways. Or maybe you haven't experienced that. And if not, you know what? All you need to do is ask God to show you himself. Ask Jesus, show me yourself in a real way. And I believe he will. I've experienced it time and time again. He comes to us one person at a time. See, he calls you by name. He said, Mary. He calls you by name. Think for a moment, just in your heart, say your name to yourself. But just, you know, Jim. And imagine, and maybe you've heard it before in your heart, Jesus calling your name. That's why he died. That's why he rose from the dead, for one individual at a time, right? He came to us individually, and so that we would be like Mary Magdalene, we would cling to him. And maybe that's where you need to be today. Maybe you need to cling to him. See, I need to come back to Jesus, or I need to acknowledge and realize all that he's done in my life. See, Mary's anguish and despair was swallowed up by astonishment and delight that Jesus was alive and that he came to her. Jesus gave her the unique honor of allowing her to be the first one to see and to hear him after the resurrection. Mary Magdalene got to hear Jesus. And then she went and she shared with others what Jesus told her, that he is alive, to go and tell others. What an extraordinary legacy that she has. A woman delivered from darkness, one who faced tremendous darkness. It doesn't say how long she was possessed by these demons. Was it months, years? What Jesus had done for her. And she experienced true and lasting deliverance from an ordinary, or what we might even say, a less than ordinary person to someone who was extraordinary, an extraordinary disciple for Jesus, a devoted follower of him, one who followed Jesus and then gave generously of her time and her resources to follow Jesus. And she was loyal. She was loyal to the end, even when others wouldn't be, even when it wasn't popular to be following Jesus. And she had the amazing privilege to be the first to see and to hear the resurrected Christ. I hope you and I can learn. I think we can. We can learn some things from Mary Magdalene's life. As we saw earlier, she faced the darkness. She acknowledged her need for deliverance. Do you see the darkness in your own life? And have you asked God to deliver you from that? And may we become, again, devoted followers of him, using the gifts and talents he's given to us. And may we be loyal to him to the very end. Because if we are loyal to him at the very end, we will also experience what Mary Magdalene experienced. Someday we will see Jesus face to face.